Well, switching gears, there's new leadership and direction at the historic LA Times newspaper. The publisher and editor-in-chief is out. There's a newsroom struggling with morale after the reporting on a scandal at the University of Southern California. On Monday, Ross Levinson was announced as the paper's new CEO and publisher. He previously served as interim CEO for Yahoo and president of Fox Interactive Media. For more on the shakeup, as well as the reemergence of Steve Bannon at Breitbart, let's bring in NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, tell us more about what's going on at the Times, the LA Times, and what it means.
Well, so I've been reporting a bit on this in the last couple of days, and Variety reported some of this yesterday as well. But it's fascinating the way in which this absolutely stellar, gem-like reporting that the LA Times has done on the University of Southern California, a big scandal there, actually ended in the ouster of basically the top cadre of leadership at the paper. Hmm. Essentially, the lead reporter was so convinced that editors had sat on this story in one way or another for over a year that he filed a complaint. And that complaint led to review by human resources, and from what other people within the LA Times newsroom have also told me, that also opened the floodgates to a series of other complaints about morale, about leadership, about communication, about lack of trust by Devon Maharaj, who was serving in the role of publisher and editor-in-chief, and also with some of his top editors there. So Tronc pulled the trigger.
Tronc's the parent company. Yeah.
That's right. It stands for Tribune Online Content. They own the newspapers that used to belong to the Tribune Company. And they said essentially, we're going to get rid of all you guys. We're going to bring in new leadership and separate the roles of publisher and editor in such a way that there are clear lines there.
Why? Had they sat on the story? You say the complaint was that they had.
You know, the allegation was such that there was a conflict of interest, and people read into the idea the fact that there is a partnership between the LA Times and the University of Southern California, USC, for its huge annual festival of books. And they were cleared of that conflict of interest. That was seen not to weigh into it. There is the claim from senior editors has been made privately in the newsroom that the story wasn't ready to publish. And indeed, in ensuing months, they were able to get a ton of more information. They were able to get a key woman who basically overdosed, a young woman who overdosed in the hotel room with the then medical dean of USC in order to be able to they were able to get her on the record to talk about it in a way that really changed the nature and thrust of the story. But they had a lot of reporting on hand in the beginning realm. So there's some controversy of whether or not it was ready to publish. That's a judgment call. That's what journalism often amounts to.
Well, fascinating journalism story. And there's another one. Steve Bannon has returned to Breitbart. He once called it a platform for what he called the alt-right, which are nationalists, white supremacists. And he went right to work. He said, this is war. Who's he at war with? Because he did blast President Trump after the president's speech Monday on the strategy in Afghanistan, or Breitbart did. Yeah.
Breitbart did. What Bannon has said in interviews in his bombastic way, and what has been supported in the ensuing few days since he's been back in the saddle, about 5 days, is that they're going to go out to war with those inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill who they see as insufficiently devoted to the president's purest and truest self. And that's the Breitbart and Bannon version of him, the one that wants to be more nationalist, the one that wants to pull back from commitments abroad. Steve Bannon had supported the idea of essentially outsourcing what we do in Afghanistan to you could call them mercenaries, to contractors like those led by Eric Prince, who had been the founder of controversially of Blackwater. Steve Bannon has been strongly supportive of what Donald Trump has said, for example, after Charlottesville, not in his more presidential remarks, but in saying basically there are problems with all sides and seemingly equating anti-racist protesters with the white supremacists who occasioned their presence down there in Charlottesville. Obviously we recall a young woman died, many others injured when somebody seemingly allied with the white supremacist protesters plowed into a group of folks while driving a car, quite intentionally. So Steve Bannon is basically trying to endorse that. You've seen Breitbart go after Paul Ryan. You've seen Breitbart go after Jared Kushner. You've seen Breitbart go after people who they see as not supporting the purest version of Trump.
Well, and you now have an email prankster who was able to get emails from Breitbart staff talking about getting rid of President Trump's, as in the White House, getting rid of President Trump's daughter, Ivanka, and her husband, Jared Kushner, pushing them out. an embarrassing moment for Breitbart there. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik taking a look at Steve Bannon returning to Breitbart, maybe going to television. We'll talk more about that another day, that Steve Bannon might want a television arm as well. David, thank you.
You bet.